back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the winter months, and I am headed to California next week. We're heading for Super Bowl 50-something, and the one that we're not going to be playing in. All of our coverage brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play. We're going to be getting back out to the Crab Cake Tour very, very soon, and our next guest is exactly the type of people we're going to be having on the Crab Cake Tour. We take it back into the city here, into the spring. Don, I went to this guy's theater a couple weeks ago, but it was about a month and a half ago. Tootsie was in town, and everybody knows that you love the theater more than I do, but I like the theater. I love going to a show, and we've had this guy on during the plague. Now that we're on the backside of it, it was good to get back down to the Hippodrome. Don, do the introductions here, because I know you guys are going to be talking all things theater.
Well, one of our favorite guests, Ron Legler, president of France Merrick Performing Arts Center, I say AKA the Hippodrome. Those want to know everything about Baltimore and its theater scene, who has lived 100 years in the past 2 years, I'm guessing. Ron Legler.
Certainly feels that way. I do wake up wondering what day it is and what's happening. So it's good to be back on, guys.
No, it's great to have you. We'll talk about the current season. I'll talk about my daughter and son-in-law's chagrin last weekend. They had a huge date night planned that did not happen. We'll talk about it not happening. But Ron, let's just start there. Broadway, local theater, the Hippodrome, picking up from March 13th, 2020. Describe that world to our listeners.
Yeah, you know, it was really tough because, you know, we as an industry, we understand, you know, we knew there was a huge worldwide problem. Governor Hogan had to put, he basically had an order that said you have to close. And it was like overnight. So, you know, it was very difficult. We have hundreds of people, the union, laborers, stagehands, wardrobe, hair, musicians, you know, every entertainer in the world. Like there was nothing touring. And we were completely shuttered. So it was difficult. I got to tell you, it was a lot of really tough phone calls to make. And as we saw things get better and they started opening capacities, you know, we started talking about the road. The interesting thing, our industry, the Broadway industry and the venue industry works under what's called the Broadway League. There's about 300 different, you know, people, markets across the country that are part of this. So we started working together and figuring out how can we do this safely? How can we be a unified, you know, industry? And how do we bring this stuff back to our venues? And we slowly started to do it. And it's been a bumpy road. You know, it's inspiring and it's positive, but it's also kind of scary. And, you know, like no one knows, you know, the answers are coming by the hour. And sometimes the answers are not correct, and sometimes they are. And we just keep following the science and the CDC and the guidance that we're given as an industry. We have a really incredible guy. His name is Joe Allen. He's a Harvard professor, and he's really known as the healthy building person of the country. And we worked with him on upgrades that we made at the Hippodrome. You know, we're 107 years old or 8 years old by now. And we wanted to make some improvements on the HVAC system. So we pumped in more fresh air vents that would help change the air more often.
There's a Martinotto like right there, Don. Our friend. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, we moved to MERV 13s. We did everything to be touchless. We did everything we can. And now we know it's transmitted differently than it was. You know, a lot of changes. So we're trying to keep up with it as fast as we can. What Don was talking about with the prom is we went through a great opening night, great Wednesday and Thursday. We saw there was a large number of cast members that that had to be out, and there were swings and subs, which did an incredible job. There was one actor that played five roles on Thursday night, which is just absolutely, you know, talk about a craft and being good at what you do. But then on Friday, we had to cancel the show for the rest of the week. So they had nine actors that tested positive, and you know, we're all in masks, and they're not. So that there was so much choreography and dancing and closeness in that show. And it was really sad for me because it was such an uplifting show. I mean, if you got to see it, you knew that it was something really special. And we're working right now. We postponed it. And we're working right now to bring it back in the spring so that the rest of our season ticket holders can enjoy the show.
Ron, let me say this. I moved from downtown, but we were living downtown, and Tootsie came through, and it showed up, and we were like, oh, we haven't been in a while. And we had done some concerts at Merriweather and had been out a little bit. I had avoided a couple of, I mean, I didn't go see like Guns N' Roses at Royal Farms because I didn't want to be close. You know, I don't want to be that close. Right.
No,
and we bought tickets last minute. It was a cold night. We came over. It just felt great to be there. And the show was beautiful. I know we, last time we got together, we were all arguing. What were we arguing? The Wizard of Oz show, right?
Oh yeah. But don't get me.
Wicked.
Don't get Ron picking on me again. Luckily my bona fide, I think my credibility as someone who loves musical theater is okay. I am still confused as to why Wicked doesn't work. I am absolutely committed to seeing it again.
Did you go to Tootsie?
It has to be me.
Did you see Tootsie?
I have not seen Tootsie.
So Ron, Tootsie was great because, like, it was a great show. I love the movie. It was different.
I did love
than
the
movie.
Yeah.
And it was so updated. And I thought it was really clever.
All right, good. I'm glad to hear.
I had a great, great experience. And the one thing we always say when we come is, we should do this more often.
Good.
So that's a win. That's exactly what
I would say that to everyone listening. Yeah. And get out, check out the Hippodrome, look at the current season, support theater, because people like Ron Legler are working 24/7 to bring you the highest quality road productions of these shows possible. Ron, one of my questions, as I looked at the season, and maybe I'm wrong on this, so I need you to educate me. Sure. I was struck that each, and you've got great shows. We had, you said we had the prom, we got Dear Evan Hansen, I Will Be There. My wife will bring her whole box of tissue again. She, as I said, she famously said when she saw it in New York in intermission, I just need to go to a cry room for 20 minutes and then I'll be
especially
okay.
On that one, man. Let me tell you.
I'll be able to come back for
the don't know
night.
Anything about it other than I said to my wife, I want to see it. And because everyone loves it. And I know, I said to my wife, I know we're going to cry because everybody's told me that.
Spectacular.
But I definitely want to see. You're doing a Donna Summer thing too, right?
Yeah, so that's coming up real soon. And, you know, we're looking at it. And Donna Summer was actually part of the 18-19 season.
Right.
So it's not even the season ticket holders who are current. It's the 2 years ago season ticket holders. And I got to say, that's one of the things I learned to love about Baltimore is that they just don't give up. I mean, they've been a gracious audience. They've been patient. We've been holding on for 2 years. They've been waiting for – this is the fourth time Summer's been plotted into the last two years. So, you know, everyone here has been gracious. They're kind to each other. They've been wearing their masks. They've been doing such a nice job. They're so gracious to the cast when they come with standing ovations. You know, it's a great market for Broadway. It really is. And they love the Hippodrome. And it's been part of their structure for the last, you know, 100 years. So I'm just thankful. I really am thankful to our audiences.
Donna Summer did my show once. 1999 All-Star Game. So I owned Hot Stuff and Bad Girls on my Casablanca little 45 back in his. Come on, Ron, I'm disco. Come on, everybody knows. I got a disco ball right in here. I'll hold it up for you before the show's over.
Well, when the show comes to town, you will have to put that. You'll have to put that interview out there and say as you get ready to go to the Hippodrome.
You think I'm making that up? Come on now.
There you go.
Come on now. Let's sing Hot Stuff. Like, you want to sing Hot Stuff with me?
It really is a concert with a Broadway show. So you learn a lot about her life that I did not know what she went through. Right. But you're also in the middle of some of the best music you've heard and you know every word.
Right.
And people want to get up and like a concert dance in the aisle, you know, it's and it goes quick. It's a very quick show. I think it's a little over 90 minutes and it's wonderful. So you just walk out feeling really good about it. So,
Last Dance.
Yeah.
It's in there. It's in there.
There
all
it
of
is. There you go.
So you, Ron, I didn't even break this out for you. This just happens to be here because I moved and I told my wife I'm going to hang it in the studio. And it's going to look like when Styx sang Come Sail Away. The whole place.
Listen, bring it. Bring it when you see the show.
Like there
it.
You bring go. It with you. Ron, my question goes to, and this is where I want you to correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
It seems to me that the runs are shorter. And my question is, when I say, looks to me like shows are there 7-8 days, unless I'm misreading it. And my question is that typical? Is that something that's a result of the pandemic? or is that what roadshows typically run? Educate me and
sure. And actually, it's a really good question because we did change when I first got here. So when the Hippodrome opened in 2004, it was a 2-week market, which means shows came for 16 performances, Tuesday to Sunday, and then Tuesday to Sunday. So they were here for 2 weeks at a time. Unfortunately, when the Hippodrome opened, by 2008, we had the recession, and then a lot of subscribers backed out. So now we have 2 weeks of Broadway shows, and we have half the audience. So the expense of keeping a show for 2 weeks over 1 week overwhelmed the Hippodrome, and we started losing money. So when I first got here, there was a red, everything was red. So in order to stop that from happening, and the other thing that happens, Don, is that when you're not selling well, the big shows don't want to hit you. They want to wait to come back, you know, 2 or 3 years later. So all of a sudden we started moving from an A market to like a B to C market. So when I first was hired, you know, my job was to come in and try to help Baltimore get more successful. The only way I could do that logically is to turn into a 1 week market. And 90% of the cities across the country, I think there's only 2 or 3 2-week markets left in the United States. So a traditional 1 week market is solid because now what we've done is, and the other thing is that then they went into this hybrid where some of them came for 1 week, some came for 2 weeks. And if you didn't call first, then you got row R instead of row A. It was a mess. So I made a very unpopular decision with the subscribers to make it a traditional 1 week, and we got past it. But now we have 12,500 subscribers. We're one of the, you know, great, we can only sit 18,000 people a week. So to have 12,500 already seated, when the producer looks at Baltimore now, they're like, good, let's go. We're good to go. These guys are ready.
That is the secret, right? The subscription's the secret to getting the show, right?
It's a secret, absolute secret. And the most powerful thing for this last 2 years that I've learned, again, is that Baltimore doesn't give up. The subscribers, we lost 1% of 12,500 people. And as soon as we did lose them, we replaced them over the weekend. So I got to tell you, there were markets that lost 35, 40% of their audiences. And Baltimore was like, nope, we know when we get back to normal, the Hippodrome is what we want to do. So I have to tell you, kudos to the city and to everyone who loves the Hippodrome, because it made us get through it. Okay. Right. Like, it's been tough, but knowing that they're ready as much as we are, made a very big difference.
I'll reset it. Ron Legler's here. He's from the Hippodrome, but the president of France Merrick Performing Arts Center. And we'll get down. Donna Summer musical coming in a couple of weeks. Dear Evan Hansen, Pretty Woman, all of that. And for someone who has never been that maybe listen to me because of sports, because Don's good looking. Maybe that's why they're here right now.
That would be one of the reasons.
I'm now out in the county, right? So for me, it's different than jumping in an Uber like we did. Literally, we jumped in an Uber at 6:30. We're like, we're going to the show. I got tickets. We're in the mood. That's how we tend to not buy ahead of time. We tend to be, what's the weather? What's the mood? What's the price? Where's the seat? Tonight's the night. And we'll do that with these shows. You get less opportunities, to your point, without a couple of weeks. Tell everybody out there that would say, well, Dear Evan Hansen, Linda Cried up in New York, it's this incredible, you know, traditional sort of Broadway type of thing, maybe not like Donna Summer or something where it's more pop oriented, or the Frankie Valli or whatever, just a real Broadway show. Tell everybody what they can expect for a night down at the Hippodrome if they've never been.
You know, I think part of our challenge, honestly, is to bring different types of shows. Like, you don't want the same things 8 times. You want to do something different. So part of what I try to do is try to see what I think matches with the community, the spirit of the community. That's why I thought The Prom was such a good match. A few years ago, we did Kinky Boots. And I have to tell you, I got more emails from people saying, like, I went in thinking I was going to hate it, and it's like the best thing I've ever seen. You know, you got to give them a chance. And I would say to the sports people, like, you know, you might want to go see Ain't Too Proud. It's something you might recognize. The music's there, and then you get the spirit. Like, I always thought Jersey Boys was a great entry level to when the husband says, well, my wife likes it, but I don't really like it. You know, go see Jersey Boys, because I got to tell you, you will change your mind. And, you know, I think what's happening with Broadway now is that they're really looking at the experience and the entertainment value of what they're offering. So, you know, we were talking about Sondheim, Don, you know, like, Sondheim really wants you to think in a show, like, it, and some people just want to go and not think. So I start people out doing the Jersey Boys and doing the Ain't Too Prouds, and then they evolve on their own to get Hamilton. To the point where, yeah, I mean, they do. I mean, people are like, now I've got friends that, you know, started out and now they're just as engaged as the wife or the husband. So they're, you know, you lure them down and they keep going and they're like, this is something we want to do. And I think that's what's the most important part of what we do is like, you know, right now in today's world, an escape is probably the nicest thing you could give somebody, just to step out of your own life for a while and go into the world of the theater. And again, I think, yeah.
No, that gets me excited. That's a wonderful phrase.
I agree with that. It was an escape. Going to Tootsie that night was just a little, hey, let's hit door number three and go into the theater for a little while and get treated nice. And everybody was so, I want to say this. We had a little ticket snafu. People were cool. All the ushers clearly been there a while. Like, just a very, it was a beautiful experience. I'll just be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Honestly, and that's what we are. We're an experience. So whether you have trouble parking or whether you have trouble inside the theater, it's all part of the overall experience that we offer. And, you know, we work really hard with training and everything. And honestly, right now, I feel like we're running more of an airport. When you come in through security, you get a security check, you get a COVID check, you get, you know, it's like, good Lord, you know, just let the people come in the door, right? But we got to be careful. I mean, the last thing I want to do, and you know, when people say, why are you guys so, you know, I said, because I want to keep our people working. Right. I have thousands of people that have jobs here that I had to say, I'm sorry, there isn't any work for you. And you're now laid off. It was such a hard thing for me to do.
Well, the reality of having to shut a show down now because of COVID, the reality of what that feels like and where that is and the amount of work that goes into that. COVID's real.
Yeah. So imagine, you know, you think you're getting a full week pay and now you've got 3 days worth of pay instead of seven. So it's, you know, it's really difficult. Really
back,
is.
Back in early middle of December, I think I had said this to Ron off the air. I was in New York with some friends and I had some friends who had never seen the Radio City Spectacular. So I said, oh my God, how can you never see that? Well, it's as corny as can be, but it's corny in all of its grandeur.
The best perfect way, right?
Perfect corny, you know? Yeah. And we saw A Girl from North Country, which I was lukewarm whether I'd like it. I knew I'd like the Dylan music. And I was swept away. I thought it was just spectacular. So, but the point of the story is, we're at Penn Station that night. I go to get a coffee. I say, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to walk over there in Penn Station, get a coffee. I come back. And the other couples that were with me go, you're not going to believe this. Half of the shows, and we had seen Girl from North Country at a matinee that day, half the shows closed today. I said, what do you mean? They said, I think we might have been one of the last shows for a while. And I thought,
yeah, you jumped in that window right before Omicron started taking over. You really did. I was a little jealous, I have to tell you. I was a little bit like, wow, you know.
A day or two. So I felt very fortunate that, you know, earlier in October, Ron, you talk about this experience in easing people into theater. Mm-hmm. We had gone up and weren't sure what shows would be available. And I had some friends that had seen Tina and they said, yeah, good. And I thought, I like Tina Turner. I don't know that I'm going to think it's, you know, a terrific Broadway show, but yeah, let's go. Well, again, because it, almost the way you're describing Donna Summer, I was transported into this world of Tina Turner. And I told people since then that the 10 or 12 minute finale is worth, if you didn't like any other part of the show, the 10 or 12 minute finale is worth the price of the ticket.
I mean, these musical catalogs are spectacular. And you realize, like, I didn't realize how many songs of Donna Summer I knew, but you know, every one of them, like, you know, it's, or Tina Turner, like, you know, incredible. So yeah. I mean, you know, and listen, it is tough right now. We understand we have a guarantee on our tickets. So when you buy a ticket from our source, Ticketmaster or us directly, it's guaranteed. You're going to get a refund. You're going to get postponed. You're going to get the new show. So, you know, that's part of the transparency that we've tried to offer is to make people feel comfortable. And honestly, if you called and said, I just don't feel comfortable coming to theater right now. Okay. We'll work with you and we'll refund you or we'll get you into the next show. We understand. So we've been working with our subscribers and our individual ticket buyers. And honestly, Don, so technology has been a big part of what we're moving toward. So the Hippodrome now has an app. And when they say there's an app for that, for us, there really is, because we can text message you that there's a lot of traffic or there's a football game or there's something happening. Wow. Or that the show's canceled or postponed, you know, we can instantly communicate with you. Your tickets are inside the app, so you never forget them. Even if you think you don't have them, they're there inside that app. If a time changes, if a show changes, it updates automatically. It puts them right back into your wallet the way it is. So I would say anyone, you can buy tickets right from the app. You can actually order a drink from the app and have it waiting for you at the theater when you do it.
Breaking news. Yeah. I love the Hippodrome. I did not know about this app. Yeah. It will be on my phone in about 15 minutes. Nestor's back with the disco ball.
I got my disco ball out because Donna, I never have you on, Ron, and we haven't gotten together. We're going to get a crab cake in real life. I'm doing a summer crab cake.
I live next to Fadley's. We're here every day.
Just there you go.
Over. We can walk over to Fadley's together. It's exciting because we have a program called Lucky Seats. So part of what I want to do in a community, especially a community like Baltimore, is make sure that everyone's welcome, that there's an entry level price. So I've fought for the last 9 years to keep a $45 Broadway entry price, which is hard. Believe me, you see the prices of Broadway, you know, they've gone up substantially. But we also do a thing called Lucky Seats, so that if there is an opportunity that we have availability, then we have a program that will choose lottery winners and they win a $35 ticket. And it's like the night before and you find out that you get to go, but you get to go, two people can go for $70 and it's a maximum of two tickets. So we do have programs to try to make sure that if it is a last minute date night, we can accommodate that. And you're not going to spend $300 to come to the theater. So we really are trying everything we can to keep people engaged and to work with everyone's price point.
Ron, I know you think of me as a sports guy, and Don's known me since I was a kid. And Don doesn't remember that I was in Bob Riggs's theater arts class, that we watched every Guys and Dolls and every movie there was. And I was in Pippin and West Side Story and, you know, like all that stuff. So I have a theater thing, and I've seen a lot of shows. I've maybe been to a Broadway show in my life maybe 60 times, right? Like between
that's
New York
lot,
and
that's
and
a lot though. Yeah,
I
that's
probably
a lot.
Saw 25 shows at the Mechanic.
That's a
I remember
lot.
The first time I ever went to the Mechanic, I was a little boy, and this is true. Leonard Nimoy, who I still have never watched Star Trek in my life. My wife makes fun of me, but he hosted In Search Of, and he did a Van Gogh when I was a boy. I was 10 years old. First time I ever went to the Mechanic. And all these years later, I would just say this, since the plague has stopped things, the last 10 years of my life with my marriage with my wife, we've been to Broadway a couple times in New York. We've been to your place several times. But one of the most amazing things I've seen, and I would say this in person, I've seen, this is my 28th Super Bowl next year, right? Or next week. So I've seen all the Tom Brady victories. I've seen these, I've been to probably 75 World Series games in my life. I've seen famous things and Ravens parades and all that. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen, I say to my wife all the time, Mueller told me to go see Network, which is one of my favorite movies up in New York.
Oh, my God. So
we good. Had a like a lower balcony seat. We were down low, close enough that I could spit on the Cranston. I could pitch a quarter off the edge. And seeing him do Network the night I saw it, it still makes the hair on my back and my neck stand up from moments. The moment that Tom Brady makes a pass or Cal Ripken with a streak or whatever, I'll never forget Cranston doing Network. I felt like I saw something. I felt like I was really someplace special that night.
It's incredible, honestly. Sometimes you can, and you know, the plays have gotten so powerful. You know, just there was one, it was like 3 hours long, but it felt like 15 minutes. Like you didn't even want, it had two intermissions. And at the second intermission, I never even got up to go to the restroom. I couldn't wait to get into the next piece of it. So, you know, it really is transformational. I mean, you can be transformed from a show like that.
Is he this good every night?
Yeah.
I mean, like I was in like transformed into some Shakespearean moment that I thought, my
And imagine like on a matinee doing it two times a day. Like imagine having to do that twice in a day. It's just, it's incredible.
It is remarkable. You do feel very fortunate. Yeah. Around that same time that I told you to go see Network, I probably also said to you, because we saw them both within a month or two, Mockingbird with Jeff Daniels. I mean, it's what you're talking about, Ron, right? You got Aaron Sorkin's words and Jeff Daniels. Listen, Ron, you've been very gracious with your time. We can't let you get out of here. Sometimes there's hyperbole and we overstate someone's a giant of this or a giant of that or an icon. I want you to weigh in. I don't think it overstates it to say that the theater lost a giant when it lost Stephen Sondheim. Is that accurate?
You know, you have four decades of some of the most powerful lyric and song in musical theater history. And you think about it, you know, I was thinking about, because you told me, like, let's talk about Stephen. You know, there's four words that he wrote that I think will never be the most powerful things he ever wrote. And it's called Send in the Clowns. Think about that. Send in the clowns. Think about our world right now. And, you know, like when something just becomes a farce and it is, you know, that, like, it's so powerful. And he just had simple, powerful meanings behind so many things that he did. And, you know, from the time he was in college, he worked on South Pacific, Rodgers and Hammerstein. He, at 24, wrote West Side Story. You know, it's just, it's such a tremendous loss. But what a wonderful life. Like, to live doing what you do for so many decades, you know, that's what life is, right? Doing what you love. Like, Nestor, sports and seeing all these wonderful Super Bowls and you know, that's what you love to do. And we should always do what we love. And yeah, Stephen Sondheim, I mean, it is a huge loss. But the mark that he left on so many other people, you're going to start seeing that mark through other creative people like Lin-Manuel and through other creators.
I said, just genius is one of the things. And talk about this, if you can, Ron, sure, as a theater person. I like Sondheim more than my wife. I have amongst my theater friends, it's interesting.
There's a love-hate relationship with him. I mean, there really is. You kind of do have to be.
What is that about, Ron? What is that about?
You know, I touched on it a little bit earlier, is that, you know, so much of this stuff now, it's about pure entertainment. You know, what Stephen Sondheim wanted to do is he wanted you to think. He wanted you to think through the show. You couldn't not pay attention, because if you didn't pay attention, you were now lost in his lyric and in the way that he did it. It's very sophisticated, the way he built shows. And he did it on purpose, because he wanted you to follow and listen and stay along with it the whole way. He didn't want it to just be fluff and done that way. So, I mean, Sunday in the Park with George, you can't take your eye off, because if you do, you start to get lost in the lyric. You know, there's just so many examples of just how intelligent his work was. He was one of the most intelligent writers.
Well, talk about Immigration and West Side Story, right? My wife and I watched it a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, it still matters.
You know,
an
example of Into the Woods, like, people got up at intermission and left because they thought the show was done and it was just the beginning half of it. But it, you know, when you don't understand it, but he got the biggest joy out of knowing that that's what he was doing and it was working.
Well, isn't that a great example, Ron, of Sondheim? And maybe I'm wrong when I say this, but Into the Woods, which I just absolutely love, I've seen it too many times probably, which I don't know if that's possible, but it seems to me that there are two audiences. There are audiences who love the first act and there are audiences who love the second act. Is that accurate?
Totally accurate. And it's unacceptable completely. Like, you know, it's just, there is definitely with him a love and hate, like, people love it or they're like, I'd rather not do that. So I've been around both a lot, but I do appreciate the work so tremendously, and I don't think his work's going to go away anytime soon. Assassins, I mean, he's done, I mean, Company on Broadway is just incredibly killing it right now. You know, there's so many, he's made so many stars, and he's been involved in so many things personally, and the guidance and mentorship through a lot of other creators that, you know, we're now learning as people are starting to expose letters that he wrote and emails that he sent, encouragement that he gave, you know, Jonathan Larson. I never knew this, but if you watch Tick, Tick, Boom, you know that Stephen Sondheim would go to his first readings. You know, imagine you write something and Stephen Sondheim sitting in with 30 people listening to it for the very first time, you know, and encouraging him to keep going and to do more. So
I love the fact that Lin-Manuel, again, you speak to the genius of Lin-Manuel Miranda, that he actually had Sondheim make the phone call at the end of Tick, Tick, Boom. I mean, you would say, oh, that was actually Stephen Sondheim on the phone. I know it's probably like picking among children, but I'm going to ask you, do you have, if you could only see one Sondheim work again, somebody said to you, sit, Ron, you can see one more.
You already know the answer to this. It's got to be West Side Story. I mean, I don't know. That show just encapsulates so much, you know, like it's timeless. It's no different. You know, I mean, there's differences, I guess I could say, hopefully we're moving forward a little bit, but you know, it just really is a work of a lifetime. And, you know, I have not seen it in the movie theater yet. And I keep saying to Don, I'm going to go see it in the movie theater, but I would love to see it in the big screen. And I'm so glad that Steven Spielberg was a part of that, because it would never have been so epic if his name wasn't attached to it. And, you know, it's hopefully gives us new hope, right?
Well, I really want to talk to you after you've seen Nestor. The last thing, I know we have to run. Be curious of both of your takes. I did not realize, you start reading things when someone passes away, that Sondheim regretted and did not like I Feel Pretty. And when I told my wife, she goes, oh my God, it's one of my favorite songs as a little girl growing up. What did he not like about it? And I go, hun, he thought it was gratuitous. And and Spielberg, from what I read, Sondheim signed off, redoes it in the movie. And I'll be curious what you think of the remake.
Good. Well, I have to see it. I do have to go.
Isn't it rich? They would say, you go. Ron Legler joining us here from down at the Hippodrome. I've been spinning the disco ball, man. This thing's like 30 years old.
You know, you
got
to come to summer. You got to come to summer for sure.
He'll be there now.
I'll have the last dance. There's no doubt about that. Don Moeller is here, former Baltimore County executive. We love these Baltimore positive conversations. We're going to get back out to having Maryland crab cakes, as we always do, with our friends at the Maryland Lottery, letting ourselves play in some wise conversations. I'm headed to the Super Bowl this week. I hope to see one time in my life anything as good as I saw with Bryan Cranston. And by the way, Hamilton coming to the Hippodrome too, correct?
In October, that's right. Hamilton's going to be here for 4 weeks.
Well, that's my chance to see it.
And listen, also, two guys, you know, Every Man and Center Stage are two wonderful regional theaters. They have some incredible works happening right now. So please, like Don said, go out and support the arts. We need you now more than ever. If you love to go to shows, please continue to come see them. We're keeping everyone as safe as we possibly can. It's all masked up. Everybody's good. So please come out and support local theater.
Far safer than spinning this disco ball with like broken glass all over the place. Ron Legler joining us here from the Hippodrome on behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. I need a vacuum for this. We are BaltimorePositive.com.